Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yuma Daf Pedalad. Pedalad is actually Daf in the reverse. It's the Daf that keeps us going. We begin on Pegimel on base at the two dots, which are three lines from the bottom of the Amud. The Mishnah spoke about Mishan, a Shechoy Kelev Shoyte, one who was bitten by a deranged dog. What exactly is this Kelev Shoyte, and how does it come about? Tan Rabbanon Chamisha Dvarim, Namru BeKelev Shoyte. There were actually five telltale signs provided in order to identify a Kelev Shoyte. Number one, Pith Pasuach, his mouth hangs wide open. Virirei Noitev, his saliva is dripping. Be'oznav Sruchas, his ears are hanging down. Uznavoy bunachas loy ben yar choisev, as the Bachas goes. And his tail tends to hang down between his legs. Umahalech b'tzididrocham, and he walks on the sides of the road. Yesh aimrim af neiveach ben koyle nishma. Another sign is, when he barks, you don't hear him. Mimai havi. How does this come about? How do you get a kelev shoyte? Says the Gemara, it's actually some sort of evil spirit which takes a hold of him. Rav Amar, Noshim Kashfanios Misachos Boy. It's as a result of these women who are sorcerers who play around with him. They use him as their guinea pig. So the Kishef affects the dog. Shmuel Amar, this is another pshat, Ruach Ra'a Shoyre Olav. It's some sort of evil spirit, a shade which grips this dog. So now he's saturated with Shedim, Ruach Ra'ois, Kishef, and can be very damaging if he should engage with a person and bite him. My Benayu, is there any difference between Rav, who tells us it comes as a result of Kishuf, and Shmuel, who attributes it to Ruach Ra? Is there any practical nafkamina? Ike Benayu, there actually is a practical nafkamina, how to kill him. L'miktele b'davar nizrak. If you want to kill a dog, can you do it manually? Or do you have to kill him b'davar nizrak? Throw something at him from afar, says Rashi on top. According to Shmuel, we have a Ruach Ra here. You shouldn't get close to him. Keep far away. Shouldn't get close to him. Rather, shoot an arrow or a knife. Kill him from afar. Apparently, according to Rav, there's no such concern. You can actually approach the dog and be hurting it from up close. Tanakh Kavasei to Shmuel. All right, to Shmuel. Kishahurgin Oisai. When one kills this dog, ain hergin oisai, hell with davar nizrak. Meant to do it from afar by throwing. Continues the Gemara. The chayev be. If a person brushes against this dog, mistaken, he's placed in sakana. The nachasle, if the dog actually bites a person, mayis, this person will die unless he immediately applies the formula which the Gemara will describe soon. Goes back to the Gemara, the chayiv be mistaken, if a person rubs against his dog, his life is now in danger. Maita kante, what should he do as an antidote? Nishlach mane, he should take off his clothing quickly, even near it, and run. Run away from the scene. Apparently this mitigates the sakana. By removing the clothing, perhaps it means the outer clothing which came into contact with the kelef. In any case, removal of clothing and running away is the appropriate response to a person who rubs against his kelev shoyte, as we find in the following story involving Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua. Chav be'echad minayi, one of these dogs brushed against him, b'shuka, out in the street. Shalchinu le'mane v'roit. He immediately took off his clothing and took off. Amar, he said, ki yamti ba'atzmi. I fulfilled in myself the pasuk, ha'chachma techaye ba'aleo. One's wisdom can actually keep him alive. I was saved. The fact that I knew how to respond to that situation. Furthermore, the nachas le'mayis, a person who is bitten by this dog will die. Ma'itakante, what should he do as a solution? Amar Abayi, nesi mashcha, should bring the hide, the skin, the apa. The apa is a tzavua, elsewhere considered a bardala, some sort of small creature. So you should bring the skin of this animal, dichra, of a male apa, v'nichtavale, and write on it the following sort of chant. Apparently this is a skula, which will mitigate the effect of the shade, of the rachra. He'll write on this skin as follows. Ano, myself, meaning he'll write his name, Planya bar Polnisa, right? Reuven ben Rach. Amashcha de apa dichra, on the skin of an apa dichra, of a male apa, kesivna aloch, I'm writing on you. Kanti, kanti, clearus. This is some sort of chant which serves as an antidote to the effect of this caliph shoyte. I'm going to summon a different version that he writes. Kandi, kandi, clearus, ka, 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 Hashem tzavakis. Amin, amin, selah. And then, v'nishlachinu lemani, he should remove his clothing, v'likberinu be'kivri, and bury them in a beis akvaris, ad treis yachishata, for the next 12 months. At the end of which, v'nafkinu, let him remove it. Dig out the clothing, v'niklinu betanura, and burn them in an oven, v'nivderinu lekitme, and take its ashes, and spread it out, aparshas drachim, at the crossroads, v'hanach treisei achishata, and all throughout these 12 months, he must be careful. Kishasi mayu, when he drinks water loy lishti, he shouldn't drink it directly out of the kli, in which case he might actually see his reflection in the kli. Rather, he should drink it from afar, from a distance, ela b'guvsa d'nechasha, rather by using a guvsa, a straw d'nechasha of copper, a copper straw, so he drinks it from afar. Dilma, because if he drinks it directly out of the kli, he might actually see, chazi, he might see b'vua d'shida, the reflection of the shade, which is now, which took hold of him. So you might see that reflection in the water, v'listakin, which can endanger him. So rather, he should drink from a distance. Kiha, as we find in the story, the Abba Bar Marta, who was actually also who Abba Bar Maryumi, when he experienced this condition of the Le'ime, his mother fashioned for him guvsa, a straw, the dahava made of gold, the Bach adds the words, v'itzi, and indeed, he recovered. V'oid Amar of Masya. In the Mishnah, we speak about one who was bitten by a kelv shoyte. And Rav Masya ben Chorosh tells us, the way to respond is by feeding the victim mechatzar kovit shiloi, a section of the liver of this kelv shoyte. The Rambam learns it's sort of a skula, derech haskulois, and the doctors apparently would do this thing. And according to Rav Masya ben Chorosh, it was mutter, despite the fact that you're feeding him something which is not kosher. Sakonos nefashos, it's mutter. Chachamim disagree. And again, as the Rambam explains, it's not really something clinically proven, it's not something scientifically understood, it's derech haskula, it doesn't really justify. Feeding him something not kosher is not allowed in this situation. So according to Chachamim, no. According to Rav Masya ben Chorosh, yes. And the Mishnah added another machlekes, another discussion. Rav Masya ben Chorosh says, if one is choishesh begroinai, he's experiencing some sort of oral ailment, matil noy samtich b'Shabbos, you can apply some sort of medicine, some sort of formula to alleviate that concern. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan chash b'tzav dina. Rabbi Yochanan experienced this condition, this oral ailment called tzav dina. Ozel gaba, he went over to this dahi matronisa, to this non-Jewish woman, medical expert of the Lei Milsa. She prepared for him this formula to apply to his oral condition. Chamsha, she did it for him on Thursday, he applied it. Umali Shabsa, she did it on Friday, he applied it. Now, Shabbos was coming. Amar Lo, he turned to her and he said, B'Shabbos Mai, what am I going to do on Shabbos? I'm not going to come to you, I'm going to be busy giving my shiur, my talmidim, I'm going to keep me away. What am I going to do on Shabbos? She says to him, don't worry. Thursday, Friday, took care of it. You won't need it anymore on Shabbos. Imat strichna, my. He responds, well, if I do need it, what am I going to do then? Armalei, so she told him, look, I'll make a deal with you. I'll reveal to you the secret of my trade. If you commit with a shvua, then you keep it a secret. Ishtabali, swear to me, deloy megalis, that you don't reveal it to anybody. So Rabbi Yochanan responded like this. Ishtaba, he swore, and he said, Lelakadi Yisrael, Lemegalina. See, misled her. She thought he was using Hashem's name to commit himself with a shvur, to keep it secret, but what he had in mind was, Lelakadi Yisrael, Lemegalina. I'm not going to reveal it to Hashem. but I will reveal it to others. In fact, Nafak, he went out, Dorsho Pirka, he publicized it at the shir. Says the Gemara, how can he do that? Vo'ishtabala. Didn't he commit himself with a shvua to keep it secret? No. Lelokad Yisrael, lomigalina. All he said was, I'm not going to reveal it to Hashem. Hola Am Yisrael Megalina. But to everybody else, to Am Yisrael, I will reveal it. Says the Gemara, Vayikachil Hashem. Fine, technically, he wasn't over. But she thinks he was over. Rabbi Yechon, such a tzaddik, should negate his own word, his own shvua, to Chilal Hashem. Answers the Gemara, Demegali Lamikara. He told her ahead of time. As soon as he made that alleged shvua, he turns to her and he says, I just wanted to know what exactly I had in mind, and I'm going to reveal it. This way, she didn't think he was being over on a shvua. She was quite upset. But technically, he wasn't over on a shvua. And the question begs to be asked, how? How could he go ahead and reveal something? A trade secret confided to him by this matronisa. This is her business. I was discussing this morning with Shlomo Miller in the Kol, and he said that it's well known in the medical field that they frown upon a person who comes up with some breakthrough, some sort of research that produces some sort of medical solution that can benefit civilization. If he keeps it, he hoards that information, they frown upon him. You meant to publicize it, sure. If it's Parnassa, get a patent and get your royalties. But to keep that information private, he said there was a story of the doctor who came up with some sort of formula, some sort of procedure regarding childbirth easier, some sort of tongs, and he refused to reveal it to others, and they looked down upon him. You want to keep that secret, keep it from everybody, and have the secret go along with you when you pass away. You meant to publicize it for the sake of public ta'elus. And in fact, Rabbi Yechon felt that this is one lady who knows the secret and she doesn't want to reveal it to others. It's inappropriate. And the correct thing is to publicize it, as long as he's not being over in a shvua or creating chilal Hashem. So indeed, he revealed it. And what? What is the secret? My avdale. What a fact did she make for him? What was the secret recipe? Amar of Achaber Dar Ami Meisoir. It was a concoction with the following ingredients. Juice from soir, which is sourdough. Some say we're speaking about, I saw some place up Shada, but barley. It appears that it's soir, it's a sourdough, some sort of mayim from that soir, together with shemen zayis, olive oil, umelach, and salt. Rav Yemer Omar, he had a different pshat, soir gufe, the actual soir itself, mixed with shemen zayis, umelach. Rav Asher Omar, he had a different approach. It was mashcha, the oil found in this feather, the gatva, in the feather, the avsa, which is found at the tip of the duck's wings. So that oil provided the solution to this ailment. Amar Abaye, I'm not Abdi Lekulu. You know what? I did everything. V'lo yitzoy, I wasn't healed. Didn't help me. Ad Amar Li Autaya, until I met this Ishmaeli Soicher, this Arab merchant, and he told me, this is what you should do. I see Kashiaisa, bring pits, the Zesa of olives, olive pits, to Leimolu Tilsa, from olives which had not yet grown a third, so small, unripe olives. Take those pits, v'kalinu benura, burn them in a fire, amar chata on a fresh new ho, v'adbik, and take the ashes and apply it, b'kachi, kachi is teeth, duri, rose, and on the rows of your teeth, avdi hachi, and I tried it, v'itsoi, and it worked. V'may hava, how does this tzavdina condition come about? Mechamimi, chamimi dichiti, by one eating wheat bread made from wheat flour, but over hot, chamimi, chamimi, too hot, umeshiyuri, and from the leftovers of kasa daharsana, that's a dish made from fish and flour, so shiyuri, if it's left overnight, it's spoiled, eating that generates this safdina, this dangerous condition. Umaisimoni, what is the telltale sign of this condition? Kadrami, midi bekache. If one places something by his teeth, in his teeth, va'asa dama, and it generates bleeding, mi bei dori, from between the rows. So there's bleeding amongst his teeth, and that's an indication of this dangerous condition. Rabbi Yochanan ki chosh b'tzavdina. There was a time where Rabbi Yochanan was gripped by this ailment. Avad hachi b'shabbos, and was on Shabbos, and he followed this formula that he learned from this isha. Apparently it was at a different time. V'itzi, and indeed, it provided the remedy for him. So even on Shabbos, he did refuah for this condition. Generally, you don't do refuah on Shabbos. It's a drabbanon. It might come to shchika samemonim, grinding ingredients, which is teichen. So unless it's a serious condition, you're not meant to do refuah on Shabbos. Rabbi Yechon, hechi avid hachi. How is Rabbi Yechon allowed to do this on Shabbos? Omar of Nach, Mar Yitzchak, shani tzabdina. Tzabdina is a real serious condition. It's different than just a regular ailment. Hoylu maskwa peh. Since, although it just begins in the mouth, so perhaps it seems like it's not such a serious thing, but then it progresses v'goyim ribibnei mi'ayim. If it's left untended, it could just keep on going and ends up inside the person, mi'ayim, so you have to nip it at the bud. It's already considered a serious condition which allows and justifies refuah to be done for it on Shabbos. And what type of refuah? This type of medicine applied to that area. Amalei Rav Chiya bar Abba Rav Yochanan. So he challenged Rav Yochanan on this account. He says, evidently you hold that some provides a remedy for this choshish begroini condition, right? That's why you allowed yourself to do it on Shabbos. Keman, according to whose shita did you do that? Kira Masiv and Charash? The Amar choshish bepiv matilin loy sam b'Shabbos? We had a discussion about this in the Mishnah. It appears it is Rav Masi ben Charash's opinion to allow some to be applied in this situation even on Shabbos, because he holds that it's a proper effective refuah. But it would appear that the Chachamim don't hold as such. They hold that this is not really an effective refuah and doesn't justify Chilul Shabbos. So you're following a Das Yachid? Later, Rabbi Yochanan responds, Shani Omer, because I maintain Chacham agree in this case that it's considered a proper refuah. They disagree regarding the other alleged refuah of the Caliph Shoita with the Chatzar Kovet Shiloh being fed to its victim. They don't hold to that. That doesn't justify. You can't give him something non-kosher to apply that sort of schoolious remedy. But some to one's mouth when experiencing this type of condition of tzavdina, of course it's a proper remedy, it's effective, it justifies, it can be done on Shabbos. So Bazu, in this they agree, v'loy ba'acheres, it's the other one that they were chaylik on Ramasim and Charash. Leibim Sayele, perhaps you can prove this from a brisa. What are we proving? That sam b'toich piv is considered a proper and effective refuah according to all shittas, and it's mutar on Shabbos. See, the point here is, not only is vaday pekuach nefesh deicha Shabbos, we're going to learn over and over that even safek pekuach nefesh is deicha Shabbos, but it only allows a proper remedy to be done if it's something which is questionable to begin with. Its efficacy is in doubt, in question, then that wouldn't be allowed according to Rabbanan. You can't just do anything. And that's be something which can produce results. Otherwise, it's just being Mechal HaShabbos for no reason. Reichen maintains, Sam B'teich Piv is effective and is allowed. Leimah Masayeli, perhaps we can prove this point from Ebrais, which says as follows, Mi Sha'achsei Yurokin, one who is gripped by this Yurokin condition, some call it Askara, where his face yellows, a dangerous condition. Machil noisei b'sar chamor. Without to feed him the basar of a chamor, which apparently was some sort of a skula, an antidote to his condition. Mishin shach kelav shoyta, once again, bitten by the kelav shoyta, machil noisei mechatzar kovet shaloi. They feed him part of the liver of his attacker. V'chayshish bepiv, one who's experiencing this oral ailment that we discussed, tzavdina, Matil Sam b'Shabbos, we can apply this sum even on Shabbos. Divrei Rabbi Masi ben Charash, who maintains These are considered effective remedies which justify eating non-kosher meat, as in the first case, eating the chatzar kovid of the kelev, as in the second case, and doing refuah on Shabbos, as in the third case. We disagree. These that you mentioned are considered effective refuahs, and it doesn't justify. What does be'elu mean? These, as opposed to something else, which is okay. Be'elu l'mut emayit. What do we come to exempt? Meaning, what's the one that they agree, that they all agree on? My love l'mut sam. Perhaps they were coming to emayit the last thing. The first two that you mentioned, we disagree with. That's not considered a proper refuah. Rashi says, Einzu refuah gemur, lavar alein var Torah. We don't agree with those first two. Feeding the psar chamar to the Iroquoian fellow, feeding the chatzar kovid of the dog to the one who was bit by that dog. On those were chaylik, ve'elu ein ba'em mishum refuah. But on the third one, we agree. My love l'mute sam, apparently we're coming to my the third case. They agree that sam is considered a proper, effective refuah for this condition. And this is the right Rabbi Yechon. Loi l'mute makiz n'dam l'srunchi. Perhaps Chacham meant to be chalik on all three items mentioned by Rav Masya, which is the one that they all agree upon. It's a fourth case. The halacha of makiz n'dam, you can let blood l'srunchi from a fellow who's experiencing a srunchi condition. That's considered a proper refuah. And there they agree, can be done even on Shabbos. But perhaps when it comes to sam b'toich piv, it's not considered effective. And therefore it's asur on Shabbos. Hachidam b'stavra, I'll prove my point. That there are moida to Rav Masya when it comes to makiz and dam only. Desanyo shloisha dvarim omer b'shmo b'b'yesi. Sheshama mishum Rabbi Masya ben Chorosh. There were three things quoted in the name of Rabbi Masya ben Chorosh. Number one, makiz and dam the surunchi b'shabbos. Here it is. One who is experiencing a surunchi condition. Actually, this is the askara. This is the askara. So they go ahead and they let blood from this fellow. It's considered a proper refuah, which justifies even chilul shabbos. Umi shenashacha kelev shoyte. One was bitten by this stray dog. Machil and oisoy mechatzar kavet shaloi. You can feed him the liver. V'choishesh bepiv. And one who's experiencing this oral, this mouth sickness, matil noich tsam b'shabbos. It can apply this sam even on Shabbos. This is who speaking? Rabbi Masya ben Chorosh. V'chachamim oimrim be'elu ein b'hem mishum refuah. These do not constitute proper refuahs and don't justify. When they said be'elu, apparently they were coming to be might something. Be'elu l'mu'ti might. What are they being might? Meaning, which is the condition that they agree? That there's no machlekes. My love atarti basraisa. It would seem that when Chacham respond, they say, these we disagree with. It's the last two. He mentioned three things, right? Hakazas dam l'sirunchi. Mishin l'shecha kelev shoyte. And matil le psam b'pib b'shabbos. Let's assume that the opposing Shita, Chachamim, when they respond, they say, Be'elu, these are not considered proper refuahs. They're referring to the last two. The last two that you mentioned, we disagree with. Ulumot Dereisha, as opposed to the first one, the one that you mentioned first, the Akazas Dam L'Srunchi, that's a proper refuah that you can do on Shabbos. So it's a raya that the one and only item on which there's no machlekes is Akazas Dam. But the sam l'teich piv is machlaikis. So it's a kash Rabbi Yechonon. Says the Moraloi. Wrong. Atarti the reisha kamais. Chacham say, these are not considered refuah. It's a reference to the first two items on that list. Hakazas dam. Kelev shoyte. Ulmuta the seif. As opposed to the last one on the list. Which is sam l'teich piv, that's mutter. Even according to the Rabbanon. So really, Rabbi Yechonon was right on. Rabbanon agreed that it's considered a proper refuah. So basically we're trying to prove disprove Rabbi Yochanan. It's the dam l'serunche, it's the akaza, that they're moida, but not the sam l'teich piv. We attempted to bring a raya from the brayse here, and now we disproved that proof, which came to disprove Rabbi Yochanan. Bottom line is, we don't really have a clarity. Which is the case that the Chachamim are moida to Masiv and Chorosh. Is it this? Is it that? Now we'll have a raya. Toshma, the Tani Rabbi Bar Shmuel. Listen to this brayse. Urbu sheiricha, the expectant woman, had a reyach, which aroused a craving. Machil oisa ad shetoshav nash, who can feed her on Yom Kippur until she gets back to herself. Umi shena shachay kelev shoyte, one who was bitten by a deranged dog. Machil oisa mechatzar kovet sheloi, who can feed him the covet of the dog. Vakoy choshesh bepiv, one who has this oral infection. Matil oisam beshabbos, who can apply the sam to the infection. Divrei Rabbi Elazar b'Yosi, who's quoting who? She'amar, mishum Rabbi Masiyah ben Charosh. So three cases. Urba Shehiricha, Kelev Shoyte, Samotech Piv. It's all considered proper force which allow, whether it's Chil Shabbos, feeding him Kippur, feeding him something tummy. Chachamim Aimrim, Bezu. We agree with you regarding one, this one. It's a proper force, you can do it. V'loy Ba'acheres, but not on the other one. Now it's undefined. What exactly are they being moided to? We have three cases. Which one? Bezu ahai. What's the word bezu referring to? Ilei ma'ubra. Perhaps the first one on the list, the expectant woman. Pshita, of course. There's no machlekes by the ubra. Ubra mi'ikil ma'da omed aloy. Is there anybody that disagrees? We have a stam mishnah. Ubra shevi yichakim yifanim kippur. There's no machlekes there. They don't need to be moided to a masya. Point of machlekes. So that's partial. They can't be referring to that. Elalava sam. Apparently, when they said, we agree with you on this, it's the last one that he mentioned. You can place the sam in one's mouth. And it's considered proper for Shmamina, Satariya, Chachama Moida, and to write to Rabbi Yechon, who applied the sam, the Teich Piv, even on Shabbos. Ravashi Omar. Take a look at the Mishnah. Masis Namadeka. The wording in our Mishnah is also certainly indicative of such. The Chacham Amoide, Samotech Piv, is permissible. Mishnah begins by discussing the fellow who was bitten by the dog. And according to Rav Masya, he's fed the Chatzar Kavi, the non-kosher meat. Chacham disagree, it's not considered a proper four, not allowed to. And the Mishnah adds that Rav Masya ben Charosh will present another halach. So the wording in the Mishnah will tell us there's no machlekes. Masis na medeke v'oid amar masiv ben charosh. Hachoshish bepiv. If one is experiencing this oral ailment, matil no sam b'shabbos. We apply the sam. That's it. There's no opposing view brought. V'loy pligi rabban alei. Where are the rabbanon? There's no machlekes. V'im isa the pligi rabban alei. If it were so, the chacham acholik on this case, they don't allow sam otech piv. Where are they? Why don't they state their opposition to Masiv ben Charosh? Liravinu, listeninu. The Mishnah should have bundled both halachas together. One was bitten by Kelv Shoyte. Can he have the Chatzar Kavod? According to Masiv ben Charosh, yes. One was Choshish, the Piv. Can he have the Sam b'Shabbos? Yes. Divrei Masiv ben Charosh. And then the Mishnah should have brought the Rabban, who opposed both things. Leravinu, we should mix them together. Velis ninhu, and present the halachas together. Velif legurabana b'seifa. At the very end, Chacham should come back and say, no, these aren't allowed. The fact that the Mishnah presented it differently. In the case of the Kelev Shoyte, we have machlekes. In the case of Matil Samotech Piv, we have no machlekes. Shema Mino, isn't this the biggest raya? That everybody's moida, it is mutter. So in conclusion, we have four cases, and in all four cases, Rav Masiv ben Charosh maintains it justifies Chilul Shabbos, it justifies feeding him Davar Tamei, etc. Only regarding Samotech Piv, do the Chacham agree it's considered a proper four, and in fact, Rabbi Yochanan did it on Shabbos as well. And the Mishnah says you can apply this Sam. Why? Because he's experiencing a difficult, a critical, a serious situation, serious ailment. As we said, the the oral infection can spread and can bring about sakana. And the Mishnah adds one more thing. Now, why the redundancy? Why does the Mishnah have to add v'chol sofek nefashis derechas haShabbos? Once you say some is allowed because he is in a sofek nefashis condition, stop right there. Why add? Well, every sofek nefashis is derechas haShabbos. It's pretty clear. You've already said that. Apparently, there's another chiddush here. Amar Rav Yehuda Amarav. Lois sofek Shabbos zubul v'adam. Not only can you do these things to address a possible life-threatening situation which may occur on this very Shabbos. He might die this Shabbos if he's not tended to properly. That's pasha that you could do. Ela afilu safek Shabbos acheres. The reason why the Mishnah adds the second clause coming to address a different situation. Even if by refraining from tending to his condition, it might create a safek, a possible Pikuach Nefesh for next Shabbos. So perhaps you would say, well, let's leave it alone. It doesn't justify to be Mechal today's Shabbos for a possible Pikuach Nefesh next week. To be Mechal two Shabbos, it doesn't justify. That's what the Mishnah says, yeah. Any type of Safek Nefeshes, whether it might result in a tragedy this week or even next week, you can go ahead and mechal Shabbos already this week. Hechi dami, give me an example. You went to the doctor. He gave him an 8-day prescription. V'yoyim kama Shabbos. The first day being Shabbos. Ma'od teima le'akav ad l'urta. Perhaps we can say, well, wait till Matzah Shabbos. A little bit, not gonna harm him. Ki hechid le'necha le'trei Shabbat. In order to avoid mechal two Shabbos this week and next. Kamash malon. That's what the Mishnah adds. V'chol safek nefashis derechas haShabbos. Any type of safek nefashis, even if it's not imminent, it might happen next week if we neglect his situation now. That justifies chol Shabbos already now. It seems that there would be a svara. You see, we're not speaking about if his life is certainly in danger. In that case, even if the danger would occur next week, it doesn't matter. You give him chol Shabbos this week for next week. The point is that it's only a safek. It's a doubt. So perhaps the svara would be, if the safek nefashis is imminent, if it applies to the current Shabbos, he might die today, then you can mechal Shabbos even on a safek, because it's sort of Shabbos serving itself, but if it's only on account of a safek that may happen next week, next Shabbos, then perhaps you can't be mechal this Shabbos, which is like a vaday, you can be mechal this Shabbos, on account of a suffix for next Shabbos, that'll be a havamin. Maskana is no. It's irrelevant. In either case, you mechal Shabbos. Tanya mihochi. We have a right from a brisa. Mechamen chamen luchel b'Shabbos. You can heat up water for an ill person on Shabbos. Bein lashkoise, whether to feed him. Bein lavroise, whether to rinse him, to strengthen him. V'lo Shabbos u'bevad amru. And not only if the concern is imminent. Elo l'Shabbos acheres. Even if it's for the future. If it's coming to protect him for the future. Rather, we don't say Namtin loy shemiyavri. Procrastinate a bit; he might get stronger. He won't need the chilul Shabbos today. Perhaps his situation will improve. No, ela macham loy miyat. We heat it immediately. Any type of suffik koch nefesh is derech Shabbos, and here comes the punchline. For loy suffik Shabbos, not only if it's an imminent suffik. Well, if he's ignored, he might actually die today. Not only then. Ela afilu safek Shabbos acheres. Even if it's a safek which relates to the future. Well, you might say, well, you never know. His situation might improve. It doesn't necessarily justify chol Shabbos today. Leave it alone a bit. He might get better. No. We proceed. We tend to his needs. Says the Braisa, ve'ein oisin dvarim halol. All these things, whenever we tend to an ill person, we tend to his pikuach nefesh needs. We don't do it through goyim. V'lei al yedei is a gerson, a gro ketanim. We don't send a goy to take care of it. We don't send a katan. Ella, rather, who does it? Al yedei gdol Yisrael. We have adults doing it. Someone gdol Yisrael means G'doylam, tzaddikim, chachamim. Why? We don't want to send a wrong impression here. We don't want to create a false message that it's something not really, it's meant to be avoided. So we'll send a guy, a katan. No. We want to make that statement. It's pekuach nefesh. We're happy to do it. It's a mitzvah. G'dayli Yisrael will do it. In which case, in the future, nobody will hesitate. Wait around till they find a guy, till a katan. No. This makes a statement as to the importance, the chashivas of what's going on, which will generate enthusiasm in the future. Whenever somebody encounters such a situation, don't hesitate for a moment. Go ahead and save one's life, even on Shabbos. We don't go ahead and tend to pikuach nefesh based on an opinion of somebody who is not really qualified. We don't listen to the isho, the guy, meaning, somebody who's not an expert, not qualified. Use an example, an isha or a kuti, perhaps is not so well versed in this type of situation. We don't listen to them, meaning they don't really create a doubt in our mind. They can't really generate a need. We're not going to be mechallel Shabbos based on that opinion, but they can be mitzarfel de'acheres, meaning independently, we don't rely on their advice. It doesn't justify chilul Shabbos. Even if they say this person needs, we don't listen. But they can go ahead and be mitzarf. They can offer their support to somebody else. The Bach explains, suppose you have two people who are saying, this person's situation is not so critical, it doesn't justify chilul Shabbos, it's not an emergency. We have one person opposing them. It is important, it is critical. So really he's one against two, and he's battle. Now we can use the Isha or the Kuti, who's generally not to be relied upon in this case. If they join together with this individual, now it's two against two. It's a balanced equation. We say Safak Nefash L'Hakel, and we proceed. Tanu Rabbanan, Mefakchen Pikuach Nefesh B'Shabbos. We get involved in saving lives on Shabbos, even at the expense of a malacha. V'Hazoris, Hareza Meshubach. The quicker you do it, the better. V'Ein Tzorach Lito Rishus M'Bezin. There's no need to go ask a Rav, to go ask Bezin. Whether this situation qualifies, whether it justifies, you see a case which in your mind is a suffix pikuach nefesh, go ahead and save that person. Now Keitza, for example, Ra Tinek Shnafal Yam, he notices a child dropping into the water. Poyrus Mitzudim Aleihu, go ahead and drop the net and bring him up. Va'azoriz Harizim Meshubach, the more zoriz, the more praiseworthy. Vein Tzorach Litul Shus Bezin, don't need to go ask Bezin. Kash is, once we say Harzoriz, Harizim Meshubach, hurry up, isn't it obvious that there's no need to go ask Rishus? Why the redundancy? The Chiddush is, says the Brisa, the Gemara. Va'af agav dekot tzayit kavri. The reason why the Brisa adds that additional statement, there's no need to ask Rishus, we're coming to address a case where he's going to have personal benefit from it. When he spreads that net out to bring up the child, he's going to catch some fish. And he has benefits. He could use the fish. So I would think, well, maybe that's something you have to ask Bez. No. Rest assured, you can go and do it. You're being matzal nefashes. So even if some fish come up, by the way, that's okay. Next example in the Brayis is, Ra tinik shenafel bar. He notices a child falling into a bar, into a manhole. You can go remove some of the earth around the top of the bar to lower the level, which will afford you access to the child. Again, the same question, why the redundancy? Once you say Zoriz Meshubach, of course there's no need to ask Rishus. The Chiddush is, even if he's benefiting from it, when he removes that dirt, he's actually fashioning a step, which is Malacha. It's okay, because your primary interest here is to save a life. Next case. Ra shenina lo delas. He notices a door slamming shut in front of the child. Now the child is locked behind that door. The child is petrified. He can die from fright. Shevra u'moitziyo. You can break that door and take the child out. Va'azoriz, again, va'azoriz, ezem mishubach vein tzorach litol v'shusim bezna. What's the chiddush here? Va'af agav dekom mechaven le'midvar. Even though when he's breaking that door, he's fashioning boards which he needs, which he can use. Still, it's mutter. Next case, machaben. One can extinguish a fire if it presents sakonas nefashot. Mafsikin, or you can create this barrier with kalim filled with water around the fire. Mipnei hadlika b'shabbos, on account of a fire. Va'azores hariz a meshubach. Vein tzarach litoshus mibezn. What's the chiddush here? Va'afagav lekam mamchich mechuchi. Even though when he places the kalim around the fire, what is he doing? He might be straightening out some of the coals, which will make for easy and convenient use on Matzah Shabbos. Don't worry. It's mutter fatzolos nefashos. Now, why does the Brice have to give you a list of four cases? There are chiddush in each one. Utzricha on each one is needed. The yashmin on yam. If the Brice would only mention the case of the tinek falling into the yam, I would say, yeah, over there, don't go to Bezin to ask your shayla. Just go ahead. Because while you're procrastinating, it might be too late. Azaleh, you might slip away and get lost. So therefore, just jump into it, even though you're not sure. You know, is it really a sakana? Is it not a sakana? Just go for it. Aval bar de kayosib, but in the case of the pit, where you know the child is there, he's not going anywhere. Emily, perhaps don't proceed so quickly. First, ask a shayla. You know, is this situation qualified? No, tzricha. That's why it's needed. The Braisa tells you, no, don't procrastinate. Don't take your time. You have any doubt in your mind that it's a life-threatening situation? It justifies. Just go for it. V'yashmin and Boyer, the Braisa just mentioned, Boyer would say, Mishim l'kam ha'mivis, because you know the child is frightened down the pit. Avol nin aladelis. But in the case where the child is locked behind the door, over there, perhaps there's an easy alternative, which will avoid Chilul Shabbos. Efshad Yosef Baigisa. Have him sit on the other side of the door and distract the child. The Meshabashle, distract him by Magoizi, by banging some nuts together. And keeping him busy and distracted in that manner. Perhaps you should do that rather than breaking through that door. It's Richa. That's what the Baisa tells you, no. Even in this case, don't take any chances. Break through the door and extract the child. The Baisa spoke about Mechaber Mafsikim Pnad Leika. Lomeli, what is the Chiddush here? Put out a fire, block the fire. If it involves pekuach nefesh, of course. The chiddush is adafilu lechatzar acheres. Even though we're speaking where there's no danger inherent in this chatzar, everybody can get away in time. The problem is in the chatzar next door. We have some cholim, some tanim, who perhaps will not be able to get out in time. Tells us the price to go ahead and put out the fire to avoid pekuach nefesh. So in summary, we learn that even Safek Pikuach Nefesh is Deicha Shabbos. And even if the Safek isn't really imminent, it's something that might happen down the line. Go ahead, Imchal Shabbos today, on account of the future. We don't say, well, let's wait, perhaps it'll get better. No. Tend to it immediately, to avoid any worsening of a situation. Who does Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos? We don't wait for Goyim, we don't have Ketanim. Alidei Gdoili Yisrael, which is a demonstration of the true chavivus of a nefesh of a yitu Hashem. We learned that Hazor is ha-reza meshubach. The Braisa listed four cases of possible pekuach nefesh, and the Braisa added, there's no need to go to Bezin to ask your shayla. What type of shayla can potentially apply to these cases? So let's go down the line. In the case of nafa tinik layam, we say peris metzuda to bring him up, even though there's some fish going to be coming along with that net. Nafatin lebar, you take out a chuya, a layer of earth, in order to give you access to the child, even though he's forming a step there. And Allah delos penetinik breaks through that door to get him out, even though he's fashioning boards. Machaba mafsegat leika, even though he's going to be flattening out those coals, while he places the kalim around the fire, which might benefit him in the future. It's okay, go ahead. You're doing it for pekuach nefesh. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Lo yicholchu b'pekuach nefesh achar reiv. Just as we learned earlier, Safek nefesh is deichas HaShabbos, even if there's a reiv telling you, there's no concern. Doesn't matter. Even a small chance, a slight chance of pekuach nefesh justifies chilul Shabbos, and it's a mitzvah nechiv to save that person. Hey chidami, well, what are we speaking about? So the Gemara will present a case where a building collapsed on somebody. We're not sure who he is, a Yisrael or non-Yisrael. And Shmuel comes to tell us that even if you have a Rav telling you that it's not a Yisrael, you still proceed and try to save the person's life. Hey Chidami, what are we speaking about? Inema deika tishag Yisrael v'kusi echad b'nayu, a group of people walking by a wall, and he noticed the wall collapsing on one of them. Don't know who he is. There was a group of people there, which consisted of 9 Yisrael and 1 Kuti. And one of those people ended up underneath that pile of rubble. Well, in that case, it's Pashat, Ruba Yisrael Ninu. You have a roiv in favor of the Yisrael, of course. You meant to dig out that pile. Elopalgopalgo. Apparently, we're speaking that it was 5 and 5, 5 Yisraelim and 5 Kutim. Here again, Safak Nefash Slahakal. It's an equal equation. Of course, you have to proceed. Elod Ikatisha Kutim Yisrael Echad. Apparently, we're speaking that the group consisted of 9 Kutim and 1 Yisrael. And Shmuel will tell us, even though you have the overwhelming majority in favor of the Kutim, you still do Pikuach Nefesh. That's why it's also Pashit. Hanami Pshita. Why? The Havali Kavua. Because we're speaking that this happened in their place of residence, in which case they're set there, they're established there. This is their Makim. And we know that when something is Kavua in its Makim, it's treated like 50%. V'chol kavua k'mechza mechzadam. The classic case is where you have a piece of meat bought from a store which could have been a kosher store, could have been a store selling non-kosher meat. You're not sure, but you bought it from a store, the makom akvis, the establishment itself. Halacha is, even though roiv stores are kosher, you can't follow the roiv. Because each store is an individual entity. And since the suffix is related to the actual entity, I know I walked into a store, I don't know which one. So the one non-kosher store creates a 50-50 equation, a 50-50 chance. He cannot be incorporated with the rest of the stores as part of the same equation, in which case you say, Roiv is fine. Because each one is an independent entity, dealt with separately. So it's like a Safak HaShakel. I don't know if it was the kosher store or the non-kosher store. There's no concept of roiv when it's kvius, when it's kavua, when it's established, when it's set in its place. You have a group of people living in a chatzar. So even though we had 9 kutim and only 1 Yisrael, since it's his makim kvius, he doesn't relate to the rest of the group. He's not batel b'roiv. He's viewed separately. And it's a simple shaila of yid or goy, 50-50. So of course, you have to go ahead and dig out that pile of rubble. Apparently we're speaking the Parash L'chatzar Acheres. What happened was that this group was no longer in their original chatzar, in their place of residence. They left their chatzar and went over to another chatzar, where they are no longer treated as set in their place. This is not their mokim dira, this is not their place of residence. So now it's just a question of roiv or miut. 10 people, 9 of which are kutim, 1 is a Yisrael, one of them ended up under that pile of rubble. Maudatayman, perhaps I would say, let's apply the general rule called the parish. When something gets separated from a bunch, we assume miruva parish. He was separated and he identifies with the majority factor of this tarevis, of this mixture. When it's in the makom kvius, he's in his source, he's in his store, he's in his place of residence, that's kavua. We learn it from a pasuk, we don't apply roiv. But when we have just a plain group of people in some random chatzar, we treat it like any tarevis. And we assume that the one person who's separated from the bunch and ended up beneath that mapilus belongs to the majority. In this case, it's kutim. There's no need for pikuach nefesh. There's no need to mechal shabbos. Kamash Malon. That's why Shmuel is coming to tell you. The lo yeholchu pikuach nefesh achar reif. When it comes to pikuach nefesh matters, you don't follow reif. Even a slight chance. In this case, it's 1 out of 10 chance that it's Yisrael. That is sufficient to justify to be mechayiv, to try to help him, try to save him, and even the expense of Chilul Shabbos. Says him, where Eini, is that so? V'omer, Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan tells us Tisha Kutim, Yisrael Echad. You have a group, 9 Kutim, 1 Yisrael. And the Mapilus collapsed on one of them. We don't know who it is, Yisrael or Kuti. It depends. But Oysa Chatzar, if they're in their original Chatzar, in their place of residence, in which case each one has a din of Kavua, and although it's only 1 out of 10 Yisrael, Mefakhin, you have to go and dig out the rubble. Because Kavua is like 50-50. However, B'chatzar Acheretz Ein Mefakhin. If they're in a different Chatzar, not in the place of Kvius, you follow Raiv. And since it's Raiv Kutim, you're not Mefakech the Gaal. It's a Kash and Shmuel. The Kash, the answer is, Ha de Parashu, the Parash Kulu. Rabbi Eichon is speaking, Shmuel is speaking, when the entire group left their Chatzar of residence and went into the next Chatzar. In which case you know, with certainty, that the Yisrael, who was amongst them, entered that second Chatzar. So as Rashi says, that Chatzar was its chazik with the Yisrael. You know with certainty Yisrael entered that area. Says Shmuel, even though you have a roiv, which leads you in the other direction, most likely, most probably it was a kuti under that rubble. You don't follow roiv, in fakir zagal. But that's only because the entire group transferred into the next Chatzar, in which case you know the Yisrael ended up there. Hada parish miktsasayu. Rabbi Eichon, who's speaking where only a portion of the group transferred into the next Chatzar. So you have the original group, the original Chatzar, where they live, 9 Kutim, 1 Yisrael, and only some of them, a couple of them, went over to the next Chatzar. We don't even know if the Yisrael transferred to the next Chatzar. So since you don't even know whether the Yisrael was there to begin with, we follow the Rav and we say, most likely, it was a Kuti who went over to the next Chatzar and was buried beneath the rubble. Let's go over to Rashi, in the first wide line. Ha de parish kulu. When they all transfer, we say, since we know with certainty that Yisrael was present in that second Chatzar, where the building collapsed, you have to even fakech the gal, va'afgav denaydi, even though they moved out of their original position, they're no longer in their place of residence, li'azlina basaruba, eshmos chiddish, we don't follow Rav. Since we know with certainty that Yisrael was there at a certain point in time, that requires us to be chayshish, perhaps he's under the rubble. Rabbi Eichon was speaking, had the parish miktsasayu. Only part of the group was transferred to the next chatzah. But le'adinon, yiva Yisrael by chatzah. We don't even know if Yisrael ever ended up in the second chatzah. In this case, it's more lenient. Azlinim basaruba, hoyev le'ischazak. Since there isn't any chazak telling us that Yisrael was there, we follow the simple formula, general halacha of Rav. We assume that most likely it was a kuti who was in the second chatzar and he ended up beneath the rubble, in which case we're not mefakech that gal b'shabbos. So conclusion, the halacha is if nafal olav mapolos, if a building collapsed on a person mefakchen, we go ahead and dig him out even on Shabbos. Well, it depends. The 9 Yisraelim and 1 kuti in that group, from which one separated and ended up beneath that rubble, of course, mefakech hasagal, it's mostly Yisrael. If it's 5 and 5, there as well, safek mefashas lahakel. If there are 9 kutim and 1 Yisrael, and one of those ended up beneath the gal, beneath the mapoilus, that depends. If it happened in the original chatzar, in the place of residence, 1 Yisrael is enough to be mechayiv because he's kavua. It's like a 50-50 chance. If it's b'chatzar acheres, not in the place of residence, then it depends. If the entire group transferred into the second chatzar, in which case we know with certainty a Yisrael was present at some point in the second chatzar, we have to even fakech hasagal, even though he's only 1 out of 10. If it's only Pershim Mitzasim, part of him went to the next chatzar, in which case you don't know that Yisrael ever ended up there. In that case, we follow the Rav, and since in this case it's Rav Kutim, we were not mfakech hasagal. Okay, let's make a brief chazara. We learned about the Kelev Shaita, can come about either through Kishuv or Rach Ra. If it's Rach Ra, kill him only from afar. We learned about the antidote, the remedy, for a person who brushed against that dog or was bitten by that dog. We learned that if a person is Choshesh B'Piv, experiencing this Tzafidna condition, it's a true Sakana. It can develop into a life-threatening situation. Rabbi Eichon applied a Sam for this condition even on Shabbos, because he held that the Rabbanan Amoidet Rab Masi Ben Chorosh, this indeed is considered an effective remedy and is allowed even on Shabbos. We learned about Pikuach Nefesh, which is Deicha Shabbos. Even Safi Pikuach Nefesh Deicha Shabbos meant to be done by Gdoilim Bizrizis. Don't go ask a Shiloh, just hurry up. And Shmuel tells us, we don't even follow Rav, even if it's a small chance, we Machal Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh. Kol Tov Tiyun Atzlacha Rabba.